is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off Mount San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a sea trap with my head down the town, and no local yokel's gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger around, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. The price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes. That I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. When the stars and stripes and the eagles fly, where the
President.
We will never surrender America's sovereignty to an unelected, unaccountable global bureaucracy. America is governed by Americans.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
All right. Fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Okay, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. March 6th. I got a little buzz on my end. Hopefully you guys are not hearing it there. I don't know if you're hearing anything. I'm going to walk over here to the chat room real quick and see if anybody's in there that can point me in the right direction or see if there's anything going on there. So let's see a show of hands. See who's getting anything out there. Let me check and see if all the little numbers and colors are bouncing. They're so pretty on my end here. Let me check that, and it looks like everything is good. So let's find out here. Well, while we're waiting, let me see who all's in here. AZ Bound just jumped in there, and Copper, and Desert Rat, and Tinker's still with us, and Doc, and Goat Moog. Thank you, Tebow. Minnie, Mountain Shooter, Yakima Glock, Tebow, and a couple of Anonymous are hanging. All right, let's move on. I've got my, let's see if I can bring this up on my phone. My computer's not doing what it's supposed to be doing here for whatever reason. So let's find out. We've been listening to what's going on in the scanner here. There was a shooting, probably, I don't know how far it is over there, 50 miles maybe. We're a little small, quiet mountain town. And don't have all the details yet, but they said there was an adult shooting at teenagers. So I don't know what's happening there exactly. But. All right, thanks, Copper. Excuse me. So let me see if I can bring up all my info. This is why I like syncing electronic devices. Here we go. Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff here. All right, we'll move on. I have decided that for the time being, starting on April 1st, that is a Monday if I recall, the Shooting Bench anyway is going to go to Mondays and Fridays only. And we'll see how that goes for a month or so, and then we'll decide after that if we're going to keep going. So that's what you got looking forward to right now. That's going to change April 1st. So, all right, let's see here. You know, this is something that people have warned me about, so much so that I actually called PayPal here a few years ago. And it was back when Square, the Square, remember that's the little white doohickey that plugs into your phone, and it's a little square thingy-ma-bob, and you can run credit cards off of it. Well, they come right out and announced that they were anti-gun. And that very day, I closed my account when I heard that. And I was trying to figure out what we were going to do for gun shows and stuff, you know, when we were away from power or internet service or whatever. So I had heard that PayPal was anti-gun. I called PayPal, and talked to some dude in the big office there. And at that time, which was 10 years ago, they said, 9 years ago, yeah. What is this, 2019? 2000, about 8 years ago. And I talked to them. They said, no, they're not anti-gun. It's the fact that all of the credit card users that they have, that they provide service for, have, you know, instructed them what they can and can't do, and guns was one of the things that they had a problem with. So if they wanted to stay in business and do anything at all, and if we wanted to have some way to process credit cards, then that's what needed to happen. And I said, well, okay, I don't like it, but I understand your point. So now it seems as of, when did this come out here? Let me look. It's the last little while. That's why I was wishing it would have come up on my computer instead of the... Okay, this came out about 2 weeks ago. And it says that there's a quote in here, it says PayPal CEO Dan Schulman admitted doing an interview with the Wall Street Journal that PayPal works with the far-left Southern Poverty Law Center when it considers blacklisting conservatives. Now, you know, we've lost, let's see, so I think North Carolina was probably the moment the most visible. And let me find the ones, they've listed a few of them here. And, of course, Gab is one. They work with Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. And the SPLC was forced to pay $3.3 million in settlements to anti-extremists. Let's see, the SPLC, which also reportedly works with, anti-extremist activist, I can't even pronounce his name, last year. Well, I think we talked about that on the show. PayPal has blacklisted WikiLeaks, InfoWars, Gavin McInnes, I guess it is, conservative commentator and vice co-founder, political activist Tommy Robinson, investigative journalist Laura Loomer, they just did that here a month or two ago, blogger Roosh V, free speech social network Gab, a new Gab was that way, YouTube alternative BitChute, and a black metal music label. So, this is going to be, I'm not sure exactly, I might have to check into it. You know, we tried a company for a short period of time, just before PayPal. And number one, they charged way too much. And number two, their accounting was less than stellar. So, you know, every little group that jumps on the bandwagon here and says, well, we'll get all those conservatives business, doesn't necessarily mean that that's a good thing, that they're our friends. So we're going to have to be careful about this. The thing is, if you want to stay in business, you've just about got to take credit cards. Now, most of the people that I do business with, the majority of them, would be fine with sending a money order. But they have to wait a little longer, so they're not all about that. But, you know, when I send stuff to the 75th Ranger Battalion or some of these police departments and stuff, the absolute only way they're going to do it is by credit card. And with having gotten rid of the storefront and everything and just doing this periodically for Glock dry practice kits and colloidal silver generators and stuff like that, classes, I still get a lot of classes paid with credit cards. It's putting me in a dither here. I'm going to have to do some research and see what we can find out, see how this is going to go. But I will. Hold on one second here. All right, I'm back. I'll let you know when I find out some. For the time being, we'll keep doing what we're doing. I'm not going to like it, but it has to be the way it is for right now. So, such is life. This was, you know, it was kind of an interesting story, but it was kind of sensationalized also, just like every other story that you read on the internet. It says, missing sisters found alive after nearly 2 days lost in the wilderness. Well, with the exception of bears and mountain lions might have got them, they were in Humboldt County, California. And it said that they, and don't get me wrong, I am so grateful that they were found alive. I'm glad this wasn't a sad story. I'm only talking about the headlines of the story here, not the story itself. Okay, they, missing in the woods, found alive, missing the wood for almost 2 days. So apparently they'd found some tracks and everything and tracked them down. They said that the girls were dehydrated and cold, but they were uninjured and in good spirits. Said the girls were trained in outdoor survival through their local 4-H club, and the authorities believe that helped them. They also were wearing boots and had eaten granola bars at some point while they were missing. So that doesn't say, maybe that's what 4-H survival training is all about, wear boots and eat granola bars, I'm not sure. But anyway, they found them, and that was good. Found them at 2:30 Friday afternoon and got them home, so that was a very good thing. Okay, let's move right along here. The loss prevention guy at any given store is usually kind of makes the rounds and, you know, checks to see if people are shoplifting and all that kind of stuff. There's a Fred Meyer store in it's in Northeast Portland. And this woman was the loss prevention manager. It was a Fred Meyer store, by the way. This woman would go into the store using her badge outside regular operating hours, block store surveillance cameras with a clipboard, and scoop out the cash kept inside the machines. They found her guilty of 21 counts of first-degree theft and aggravated. She stole $230,000. Aggravated first-degree theft for stealing the cash over 5 months from January to June of 2017. So, says the store noticed large losses from the self-checkout machines at the store, and she claims she didn't know why the machines were missing money, and so regional loss prevention investigators got involved. It was then that they realized that the store's loss prevention manager is the one stealing the money. So no previous criminal history, and when she when she was arrested, she'd worked full time for Ed Meyer for the last decade. That she lived in Ridgefield, Washington. We got family that lives in Ridgefield, Washington, or used to, and. Alright, enough of that. Okay, what are we looking at here? This is something that I have been trying to get going here in Arizona for the last 5 years. Keeps clearing my throat here. Don't mean to do that in your ear, but I'd rather do it in your ear than anywhere else. Did the Yakima Glock, I don't think these had Taco Bell hot sauce to live on, the two packages of hot sauce, no. That was another funny story. Anyway, I've been trying to, and I don't know if my efforts have had anything to do with this or not. There's other people that have gotten involved, and I don't know if my hollering about this for 5 years has had one iota of effect on this. But something that has bothered me in Arizona ever since I've been here is the fact that if you drive onto school property, you can take your weapon on school property, but it has to be unloaded. Now, it mentions handguns specifically. I'm not sure about rifles, but anyway, handguns I know for sure. Says it has to be unloaded. So here's what has to happen. The young soccer mom with four kids, two of them's going to school there. One's in a car seat and one's in the back seat. Or one's in, I guess they're both in the back seat or one in the car seat. Anyway. So she has to pull over somewhere. She carries a gun to defend herself and her children. She has to pull over somewhere along the way at the closest Fred Meyer parking lot or whatever's handy and handle this loaded weapon in a confined environment with children present, unload the gun, go drop off the kids, pull off the property, pull into the 7-Eleven somewhere, load the gun back up, handling a loaded firearm in a confined environment, again with children present, and be on her merry way. So, number one, this has been so retarded that I doubt that very, very few of any people actually do it. Some of them might get so frustrated that they just say, well, it's just not worth it, and they don't take their gun at all, or don't put the gun on until after they come back from delivering the kids. And I've had to wonder every time I've thought about this. You know, I've talked to my state senator and two of my representatives about it numerous times. And something I've had to wonder, is there anybody that seriously believes that if I had the notion to shoot somebody at that school, that the law saying I have to unload before I go on the property would prevent that? Okay, let's say that I did unload it, and something snapped in me when I got in there and on the property, and I took a notion for whatever reason to start shooting people. How long does it take you to load that gun? Does it even matter how long it takes you to load it? So let's say it takes me 3.5 minutes to get a magazine in it in the slide rack. Nobody's watching inside the car. I could do that at my leisure and step out and start shooting. Or stick it in my pants or my holster and walk inside and shoot all to my heart's content until law enforcement showed up. It's just a ridiculously stupid way to... I don't know who came up with that. But, with all that being said, right now, as of day before yesterday, the House in Arizona has approved a bill to allow loaded guns inside cars on school campuses. Now, I was reading down through here, just barely, 31-27 party line vote, pretty much, with the exception of one or two. And, I'd like to think that the Senate will be at least as good with this. But, let's see. They said they feel safer for themselves and their children when dropping them off and picking them up. Representative Regina Cobb out of Kingman, Republican out of Kingman, said she can attest to that based on personal experience. She said, I know that if others have felt that, where you felt harassment, you felt that others were going to violate their order of protection, you wanted to be able to protect yourself. I was also that person that was dropping off my kids at school every day. And she said that the current law allows vehicles on campus if they're not loaded. Okay, we covered that. She said, I would not have wanted to stop a block away, unload my gun, go on school grounds, and then come back and reload it again. using guns for most of my life, I know that's when accidents happen. Now, this next one was the very best thing I think that could have happened with this argument. That is a former police officer. Let's see if we find it again here. Representative John Kavanaugh, out of Fountain Hills, that's about three quarters of the way between here and Phoenix, former police officer, said, go to many police locker rooms and you'll see holes in the lockers and the walls because of accidental discharges during loading and unloading. So I was really cool, really glad that he said that. Another one said it comes down to allowing parents to exercise their Second Amendment rights. But then there was another one, a Democrat out of Tucson, said that the Second Amendment is not absolute. And another Democrat out of Goodyear said to question the wisdom of people coming to campus with loaded weapons. See, I don't understand how these people think. What difference at this point does it make? If I come on with the thing loaded or unloaded, and at any point, either way, if I decide, how is this going to dissuade me one way or another by not having it loaded? Do they think that maybe in the second and a half it takes to find a magazine to stick it in the gun that I'm going to change my mind and come to my senses, you know, at the last minute? I just don't understand these people. This person out of Tucson said, if you feel unsafe on school grounds without a weapon and you're going to leave your children there, then perhaps there's a bigger issue that we need to address with our broader community. Said, if people cannot load or unload guns or get around in and out of the chamber without endangering themselves, then perhaps we need to look at more training for folks who do carry. Did she not hear what the cop said? Now, these same people say, well, cops are highly trained professionals. They get all kinds of training. They're the only ones that carry guns. But I can tell story after story after story of negligent discharges performed by law enforcement officers. Now, there's at least an equal number or more that happened with civilians too, but that's beside the point. That's not what we're talking about. So if people feel unsafe loading and unloading, the thing is, why would you force these people to handle that loaded weapon? You know, if you feel so unsafe when you're driving a car that you feel that you have to wear a seatbelt, maybe you should have some additional training. I could go on and on. There's a million things you could equate that to. And so I won't bother you with all that. But anyway, I think you guys probably get my point here. All right. Well, I think what's going to happen right now is that we're going to take...
I'll be back. madness with the silver spoon.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we're back. I'm kind of tangled up here. It might take me just a minute to get things squared away. But here we go. Let's do this here. This was an interesting challenge that they did here. This is called the Mad Minute Challenge. They used an Edenfield versus a K98 Duck. I know you're already got your ears perked up. An M1 Garand and a Swiss K31. All World War II
weapons here. And so it starts out by saying, if you've ever wondered which World War II era infantry rifle could bring the heat when it comes down to laying down lead, then they performed this following test. It's on YouTube. There is a, let's see, they took out the Swiss Army 7.5 millimeter carabiner, model 1931, a German K98 Mauser, U.S. M1 Grand, British Enfield 303. And see what each one of them could do in the arms of the same shooter in a 60-second window. I just pulled this up, and I may have to, let me see here. That's a 20-minute video. Well, I got your hopes all up here for nothing. So I tell you what we can do, though. We can make this kind of a fun thing. I'm going to watch the video later on. So I want you guys to think about this. Well, I guess that wouldn't work either because all you got to do is go online and look it up. So, but anyway, I'm going to watch the video. We'll talk about it very briefly on Friday before Liberty Lounge starts. Just to let those of you know that are not going to go look it up, I will do it for you. Okay, let's get back to where we were at here. Still got a couple more things I want to do before quitting time. Here we go. I just got this like an hour before the show started. Caught my eye right away quick. It says that the feds are going to end its protection of the gray wolf. Now I find that pretty hard to believe. Critics are going nuts. They're losing their cookies over it here. But they said they plan to lift protections for gray wolves across the lower 48, reigniting the legal battle over a predator that's running into conflicts with farmers and ranchers as its numbers rebound in some region. I so hope this goes through. I don't know. It says lift them. I don't know if there's going to be a season. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen here. But I myself personally would like to go out and make this happen. And I have friends and I have some relatives here not too far from here that their herds have been decimated by the wolf. It's putting them out of business. And, they say that they compensate them for it. Well, kind of they do. There's an investigation with each one. They send a wolf guy out and they have to investigate it. Then they have to decide what the circumstances were. See, it's not enough to pay, and I don't know what the numbers are, I'm just pulling this out of thin air, but it's not enough to pay, you know, $200 for a calf that the wolf killed. That calf may have brought several hundred dollars, up to $1,000, on the auction block there for, you know, for a beef cow. If they kept it for breeding, it may have been responsible for, you know, 10, 15, 20 calves, you know, you don't never know, over the next however many years. So there's no way that you can put a price on that. You don't know what kind of calves she was going to throw over the next 10 years. Or 5 years, whatever it may be. So she may have thrown a prize winning bull like Sam Domino that I talked about the other night. And if that were the case, then that calf would have been worth $10,000 or $100,000. So they're not getting compensated for this. They pay them a pittance for a calf that's killed, and it ruins them. So anyway, it says the proposal would give states the authority to hold wolf hunting and trapping seasons. Wolves that had previously lost federal protections in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, where hunters and trappers now kill hundreds of the animals annually. God bless them. Wildlife advocates and some members of Congress reacted with outrage to the latest proposal. Getting my tongue over my eye teeth, can't see what I'm saying very good, and proposed to challenge any final decision in court. Former director of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, now with the group Defenders of Wildlife, warned an all-out war on wolves if the plan advances. Yeah, that's the plan. They may have to list them again, but if they have this all, you know how much money? It's not even so much that these ranchers are not being compensated, that they're losing, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions, you put them all together every year. And that's not so bad. What's even just as bad or worse, what was that guy? We had a wolf guy on the show here about 10 years ago. And he was telling us that they spend something like, you know, $600,000 a wolf or something like that. We talked one time about the wolf that they found shot, or they felt, they assumed he was shot. They found him here in Arizona. They flew him to a facility in Idaho to see if it really was shot. What do you think that little endeavor cost the American taxpayers? They didn't fly it. Nobody flew that wolf up there for free. Nobody said, here, let's just use my plane. I ain't got nothing else to do for the next couple of days. Just throw him in here and I'll run you up there to Idaho. I've been wanting to go up there and have a steak anyway. That's not how it works. This little get together here, meeting of the minds to find out if this wolf had been shot, probably cost, what, $2 million or whatever, maybe more than that. I don't have any idea. To find out if it's been shot. Why didn't you just come ask me? Take it down to the local vet. There's actually a vet here in Sholo that works for the Arizona Fish and Game. He doesn't work for the feds, but he does work for Arizona Fish and Game and has done a lot of work with the wolves. He said, well, it's just another client to me. He said, when they want me to do stuff and, you know, then he does it. He just charges them, just another client. No. He wasn't too into it politically. He did not agree. He did not agree that the wolves said that they should be doing what they're doing. But he said, you know, I make a lot of money off of doing this. And I can't, you know, he's in business to make money. That's fine. That's not a problem. But there's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service spokesman here said, recovery of the gray wolf under the Endangered Species Act is one of our nation's greatest conservation successes, with the wolf joining other cherished species such as the bald eagle that have been brought back from the brink of extinction. You know, it is a fact that the bald eagle could actually kill and maybe carry off a newborn calf. I'm sure that has happened a time or two, or 10 or 12, I don't know. But eagles don't decimate herds. They don't hamstring full-grown cows, and they don't, you know, they don't kill a bunch of cows, eat the back straps or rear ends off of them, and leave the rest for the crows or whatever. So that's not a fair comparison to me. It says, long despised by farmers and ranchers, wolves were shot, trapped, and poisoned out of existence in most of the U.S. in the mid-20th century. Well, you know, if you want to see wolves, go to the zoo. They got some there. They received endangered species protection in 1975 when there were about 1,000 left. Only in northern Minnesota, now more than 5,000 of the animals living in the contiguous U.S. There's quite a bit more to the story, but it's nothing really exciting about it. So let me see here. Let me go back. And there's a story here I haven't read, and I'm not going to speculate on it. But there are some volunteers that have been serving with the LDS Church in Russia that are being detained for some reason. I haven't read the story, so I'm not going to go any farther than that. But as soon as I find out, I will. A&M Glock. And it's not just Yellowstone. Yellowstone is thick with buffalo. It's thick with wolves. What was I going to say? It's not just Yellowstone either. There are lots of buffalo. Wyoming, Montana, northern Colorado, quite a few in New Mexico, actually. I mean, buffalo or not, bison are not remotely, shouldn't be, they ought to just get them off the list, and they're everywhere now. They don't range wild too much, you know, except in Yellowstone and some other parks and stuff. But there's sure a bunch of them out there. Some of you, especially if you are from Nevada, particularly Las Vegas area, you are familiar with a gun shop up there called New Frontier Armory. It's in North Las Vegas. I've been there. I almost had a pretty good deal with them going with the Glock dry practice kit. But apparently they just didn't grasp the significance of being able to dry practice realistically without, you know, without any possibility of the gun going off. But, you know, that's beside the point. It's neither here nor there. The head chief cook and bottle washer there, the head of the, I don't know if he was the manager, the owner, or whatever, his name was David. Apparently Italian, Famiglietti, maybe. Anyway, head of New Frontier died. He lost his battle with cancer here just recently, so we're sorry to hear that. It's a great story. If you're ever in North Las Vegas, go and check it out. It's they've got lots and lots of stuff. Of course, being in North Las Vegas, they are substantially, well, I don't know about substantially, but they're some higher priced than a lot of the store you may encounter in other parts of the country. But with that being said, I'll tell you, they really have a tremendous selection of stuff. A lot of Class 3 stuff and every imaginable accessory and vast amounts of, and it's a neat store. It's really cool. If you get a chance to go out and visit New Frontier Armory in North Las Vegas. Okay, one last thing, and you guys are going to love this. All of you should love this. I know dang well that Doc and Mountain Shooter and NM Glock's going to love this. Copper, T-Bow, all of this is the story of the night right here. What they're proposing here has been introduced. I don't know if it's going to fly, but there's been a bill introduced here that would scrub the current federal definition of antique firearm, which is anything made prior to 1899, I think 1898. And they're going with one that says, instead of made in 1898, this is 2019. You know, the 1898 was a long time ago. If you find a weapon that was built prior, manufactured prior to, I think it was 1998 or earlier, you can ship that through the mail like a screwdriver. I mean, you can buy one off the internet and have it shipped to you like a candy bar. It's not even regulated at all. So that's pretty cool, except, you know, the more years go by, the more this is not as appealing as it once was. So this new bill, keep an eye on it. It's S-443. If this passes, this is going to result in a huge pool of older guns being available for us to choose from. It's going to be those that was manufactured 100 years prior to the current year. So it doesn't mean that it's going to be 100 years from now and it's always going to be 1919. It means that next year, that 1920 will be the date. You know, 5 years from now, it's going to be 1924. So every year that goes by, we're getting a new pool of firearms. And so you're going to get into some, what would be some good examples? Some 03A3s, Springfield 1903s. Some Winchester 1897 trench guns, some of the original 1911s. There's a number of great old firearms that's now going to be available if this passes. I've kind of got my doubts, you know, being as they are. But you got to give this guy credit for trying anyway. It sounds like a great idea. So we'll definitely. You know, if we're still on the air, we'll sure keep an eye on this and let everybody know how it's going. This is going to be a significant breakthrough here in federal gun laws, and I love it. Love the sound of that. Okay, well, it is about that time. Let me run over here to the chat room real quick and see. Okay, I guess everybody heard that. NM Glock, Copper, Mountain Shooter, everybody's... the 97's great. Yakima Glock talking about loving the Winchester 97. Great firearms. This is going to turn loose some. Of course, it may also raise the prices of some of them. I don't know. That's just speculation. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, anyway, I think I'm going to ease on towards the door here, and I appreciate y'all being with me tonight and listening. And we'll be back Friday for Liberty Lounge. All right. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific. And again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.